I wanted to start off this morning by telling you some of the amazing things that are happening at Pleasant Hill Outdoor Camp right now. We have seen a huge increase in our camp registration numbers. So much, in fact, that it's a little mind-blowing. I remember even telling Tom, and Tom was like, how did you do that? Did you do this and this? And I said, we didn't do much. And he was just kind of blown away. But at this time, at the end of February in 2019, last year, we had a grand total of 17 kids signed up for camp. 17 camp registrations last year. The year before, I think we had around 12. This year already, not even at the end of February, we're sitting at 72 camper registrations. So it's incredible. We're anticipating a really, really big summer. Our goal for the summer is 325 total for the whole summer. Last year, our goal, we actually reached about 263. So we're really anticipating this summer to be a big one. But not just with summer camps, our retreats are also getting to be huge as well. We booked 8 new groups in during times that we typically wouldn't have groups coming out to camp. We have just embarked on a 3 to 5 year plan where we're going to be doing a lot of renovations and work at the camp. We just bought a brand new slip and slide for the kids this summer. That's kind of like a little roller coaster through the trees, if you will. We are fundraising soon for a new high ropes course. We're doing some renovation work to some of our old bathrooms, our cabins. We had a work day yesterday. I saw Tom briefly, and he helped, and we essentially just started cleaning up camp, making camp look presentable to provide that consistency and solid experience for all that come through our doors. We also started hiring our staff. Our staff is a little over halfway hired right now. So there's a lot of exciting things that are happening at camp right now. So continue to pray for us. Continue to, you know, keep us definitely in your thoughts. When you're reading my bio, you may have been confused. You may have seen, Matt has 20 years of camp experience, and I come up here and I look like I'm in college. And you're like, what is that 20 year? I'm a lot older than I look, but also, and I may have mentioned this last time I was here, but I have spent a lot of my life in camp ministry. My father was a director for 40 years, and when I was little, I remember being little, little guy, I wasn't born at camp, obviously, I was born at a hospital, but being at camp and in the summer following him around, being my father's little shadow, seeing him do everything, teach activities, lead programs, put stuff together, interview staff, hire staff, do all of that. My mom also worked in the kitchen, so I would spend a lot of time with her when I wasn't with him and really became immersed in the whole camp experience. I did this for years. And then in about high school, I thought, you know, maybe camp ministry as a career isn't for me. Maybe I need to look forward to do something else. And at a very young age, I also loved to draw and paint. And you see on here that I went to art school. And I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I didn't think it was camp. But my parents were so encouraging. And they said, hey, you do what makes you happy. You do what you love. I think you should go to art school. So that's what I did. And I majored in fine art. Now, it was my last semester right before I graduated. And I had an amazing transformation, if you will. I had a similar to a Saul Paul road to Damascus, meeting Jesus face to face type of moment where God spoke to me and he told me what he wanted me to do for the rest of my life. And guess what? It wasn't art. It was camp ministry. So I graduated, got my degree, and then jumped right back into camp ministry, which, you know, makes some sense. But camp is definitely in my DNA. And after I did that, I thought, you know, I need to go and get more experience at other camps. And so I remember I worked at a camp in Tennessee for a while, another camp in Ohio. I worked at a camp in Michigan for a while. And all of those camps were different, different demographics that we served, different locations, different activities, different people, different across the board. Except the one thing that remained similar, the one thing that was true from camp to camp to camp, was the life impact that it provided for its retreat groups and campers. The life impact was incredible. And to see campers come on the first day, a little shy, a little timid, not sure where they are in their faith, and then they experience a week of camp and they leave transformed individuals. It's incredible. And I've seen that throughout the years, not only in my own life, but in the lives of so many others, both campers and staff. So today I want to speak a little bit about that. And as I'm thinking about all the campers that are coming, those 72 campers, and I'm getting excited, there's one particular scripture that keeps popping into my head. And if you want to follow along, you can. It's Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15. And it says this, "Then the little children were being brought to him in order that he may lay hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them. But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them. For it is such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs.'" I feel like that's a great mission statement, too, for camp. You know, we want kids to come to camp so that we can show them the kingdom of heaven. Throughout all my years, I've seen three really radical ways that camp can transform lives, and really topics, if you will. Three ways that transform kids, and when they go home, they're slightly different, and maybe a little more well-versed in certain areas. I did label them and number them, and they are numbered according to importance in a way. So the third thing out of the three, the third reason why I think camp can impact is it provides relational growth. And what I mean by that is you have all these different kids from all these different places, different ethnicities, different demographics, different support systems from all over. They come to camp, and about 25% of the campers that come already know each other. So 75% of the kids that come don't have any friends. My son went to camp at Pleasant Hill for the first time 2 years ago. He knew no one. And at the end of the week, he knew everybody. And everybody was his friend. We worked with an organization last summer by the name of Inspiration Station. And they work with, what it is that it's a local Hispanic community. And this organization, Inspiration Station, provides tutoring to these students. And they contacted me and they said, "Hey, we want to send 24 kids to camp this summer who've never experienced camp before. What do you think?" And I said, "Let's do it." And we were able to get funding for all 24 of those kids. They came to camp. They didn't know anyone. Half of them didn't even speak English. They spoke Spanish. And at first, you could tell there was a little bit of divide with the kids who'd already been and the kids who had just come for the very first time. But something amazing happened during the week of camp. Was they started to mingle. They started to get to know each other. They started to understand each other's cultures, diversities, find those similarities between themselves. And by the end of the week, I'll never forget it, the Inspiration Station kids taught us all this traditional Hispanic dance that they do at celebrations. And I'm sitting there eating lunch in the last meal, and I look up, and I hear the music. And I'm like, "What's happening?" And I look up, and the entire camp had learned this dance from those campers. And we're up dancing and celebrating and doing it together. And I'll tell you what, that would have never happened outside of camp. So camp provides opportunities to learn about other cultures, other people, other personalities. And that's why it's so important. The second reason and the second thing that happens at camp where growth takes place is with mental or even self-growth. Many kids that come are shy. We don't know what they're like in their self-confidence, their self-esteem, and we challenge them in really positive ways to go outside of their comfort zone and try new things. And many of them leave completely transformed, more confident, ability to take initiative, more mature in some capacity. A couple years ago, I got a phone call from a parent whose daughter went to camp. And she said, "Matt, I just want to call and I want to thank you for this camp experience." And I said, "Oh, absolutely. She have fun?" "Yeah. But what did you do to her?" I go, "What do you mean?" "She's like talking more now and helping us out around the house and cleaning her room all the time and like helping me with dinner. And like that never occurred before." And it's providing those opportunities. We do cabin cleanup. We have our campers help us clean up the dining hall. That's a part of the camp life. And campers take that and take it home. And it's incredible. The number one reason, and all of these are important, but the number one thing that we have found is camp is a great place for spiritual growth. Campers come. They disconnect. We don't allow phones at camp, which many teens in elementary are like, "What?" But we don't. They come here. They are able to disconnect and be completely 100% focused on God, in God's natural environment, around like believers. And it's amazing what takes place. I had a friend who sent her daughter to camp, and her daughter is 13, and I don't want to be mean, but has some attitude most of the time, perhaps. Doesn't really talk about things with her parents. Is very kind of to herself. And she sent her to camp, and she said, "Good luck." And I said, "Thank you." So she came to camp and experienced the whole week of camp. and camp ended at about 4 o'clock. I remember going home, making some food, and I got a phone call from my friend, and she said, "Oh my word." So after camp, they picked her up, and they were going up to, I believe, Canada for like a week and a half family vacation. And she said, she hasn't talked to us about personal things in almost a year, and yet we can't get her to shut up the whole way up north. She's telling us all the friends that she made, all the things she learned about herself, but most importantly, we are hearing things about her faith that we never knew. How she feels so much stronger and closer connected to God. And she's sharing the scriptures with us and the skits that you did at camp about it and the songs. And I've never seen her. And at this point, she starts crying. And my wife's friends with her. My wife's listening to this too. And she starts crying. And I start, you know, kind of tearing up. I'll admit that. But it was just an amazing moment. And that's just a few cases. 20 years of doing this, I have seen hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of kids and staff alike get impacted relationally, get impacted in their own self and growing stronger in who they are, and most importantly, growing stronger in their faith with God. Every kid should go to camp. I believe that wholeheartedly. I think every not only every kid, but every person. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to share with you a letter. So that week where we had the Inspiration Station and we had other campers and they came together, we had such an amazing time, not only transformed the kids who were a part of it, but also transformed the staff as well. It really broadened their mind on what camp is truly about. So I want to read you a letter from one of my staff members from last summer. She wrote this to me after the summer, and this wasn't the first letter I received about the life-changing impact of camp. I want to share this with you right now. Every time I think back on camp, the faces of the children we had the last week are the first ones that pop into my head. Coming into my first summer at an overnight camp, I had preconceived notions of what it was going to be like. In some ways, it was similar, but in many ways, it was totally different. I never expected to meet some of my best friends. I never expected to grow so much in my relationship with God. But more than anything, I never really expected to become so completely attached to a group of kids that I had never met before. I will be fully transparent and say that this past summer was not the smoothest ride. There were many ups and downs every week. Coming into last week of camp, my heart and mind were a mixture of so many different emotions. I knew that our team was getting tired, irritated with each other, and slightly ready to take a shower longer than 5 minutes. But often get to be kids. I'm sorry, I skipped that. But coming into our final week of camp, I knew we all had one mission, to give these children who did not often get to be kids a week full of belly laughs, lifelong memories, and the love of God like they had never seen. I'd be lying if I said I was not slightly nervous going into the week, but all we wanted to do was make this week the best week of summer. Sunday afternoon came and all the kids started showing up. I was a little nervous, but seeing their smiling faces helped to calm me. I was so ready and so excited to have the best week of camp. And I knew from the moment they stepped on camp property that they were going to be the kids who changed and challenged me the most. The first couple days of camp ran almost like normal. Some kids would stand in front and worship, but most of the Inspiration Station kids would stand in the back and just watch. I saw the questions running through their brains and the unfamiliarity in their faces, so I began to pray that God would open up their hearts and their minds to His love. I know other workers were doing the same, and it makes me so happy to say that through every service, more and more children started to smile, started to sing, started to praise, and open up to the love of God. By the end of the week, they were asking questions about their faith, they were praying with us, they were acting like the kids they should always get to be. The final night at camp changed my life more than any other day at camp. Due to weather, our plans got changed a little last minute, but I know now that it was all in God's plans. So the teens ended up hanging out in the promise room. Only until curfew, of course, and not a minute later. We began the night just sitting in a circle and talking about camp, and some of the counselors were talking about the summer as well. And I think it was actually me who started crying, and then about 10 minutes later, everyone was crying and began talking about how life-changing camp had been. Some of the children started sharing stories, and they even were praying over each other. After a little while, we decided to separate the Imagination Station kids from the others to give them an opportunity to share what was on their hearts freely, without worries or others hearing it. For over an hour, we sat and listened to the hardships that they had faced, the fears they have, and explained to them that the love of God is so much bigger than what anyone says about them or their families. The kids poured out so much of what was on their minds that they often do not get to share. We got to comfort them, help them work through some of their feelings, and let them know how loved and amazing each of them were. Hearing their stories hurt my heart so much because no children should have to go through what they go through. They often have to take on the role of adults and parents for their younger siblings and other younger children in their neighborhood. I'm so thankful that God sent those precious children to our camp to end the summer on the best note possible. Since camp has ended, not a day has gone by that I've not prayed for them and thought about their adorable faces. I've had the opportunity to talk to some of the older girls and have loved getting to know and continue to show them God's love. I pray that one day we will get the opportunity to have an experience like we did the last week of camp. I know my life was changed by the children of Inspiration Station, and I pray that God has and will continue to change their lives as well. I wanted to share that with you because not very often do we get to hear from staff but also see the life impact and change that occurs at camp. And it was our last week of camp, and to end the last week of camp on such a big note, and those kids, man, there was a dry eye in the sight when they left camp that day. I got hugs. They were hugging everyone, all the staff. And when they left, the staff was just in tears. And I said, this is why we do what we do for kids like that. But also, too, we can learn a lot about our own faith and who we are as individuals through working with and interacting with children as well. I want to go a little earlier into the book of Matthew, and this is Matthew 18. And 1 through 5 says this. At the time the disciples came to Jesus and they asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a child and whom he put among them and said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. So I wanted to share that with you as well, because I think what happens so frequently is we have times where we want to impact children, you know, like camp or school. You know, there's those times where our job at camp is to provide that experience to help transform and teach them. But I think so often when we're not doing those things, for example, when I'm at the grocery store, I'm not thinking about how I can impact a child, what I can teach. I'm not roaming the aisles of the grocery store going, oh, I can help out there or there. My mission is basically on, I need food for this week for my family. That's my purpose. But what if we had that mission? What if we decided to humble ourselves and be more childlike in a way where we can go and impact not only children but those around us? Jesus is basically telling his disciples, hey, if you want to be great, if you want to be first, you need to be last. Disciples were arguing over who was great. Who's the greatest among us? Who's going to do this and that? And Jesus says, wait. In order to be first, you need to be last. In order to go up, you need to go down. So I want you to do something for me right now. I want you to think about, I'm sure all of us have children or have come across an instance where we've interacted with children before. And we can all agree that children have a completely different mindset on their faith, on their life, on their outlook than what we do as adults. Children are honest. Children are brutally honest at times, but it's great, right? They're honest. They're truthful. They're pure. And then what happens? They grow up. They begin to experience things. Things that might be good, but also might be bad. And they begin to put up walls. They begin to get transformed, maybe in bad ways, negative ways, ways that aren't good. And then they grow up to become adults. And they are no longer the pure, honest, innocent types of children that maybe they once were. So I want you to think, because there's many characteristics. I one time had a kid come up to me in the grocery store, just randomly. He said, hey, I like your shoes. And I said, thanks, I like yours. An adult wouldn't necessarily do that. So you take a minute. Think about what is a characteristic that a child would do that you could incorporate, but that you want to do more of. And I'll give you an example. This morning, I was getting ready, And I said to my wife, I said, Amy, if you can have any characteristic of something that one of our, and we have three boys, that one of our children has done or that you've seen them do, what would it be? And she said, to smile and wave at anybody I meet. And I was like, huh, simple, but do you see adults smiling, waving to everyone they meet? No. Do you see kids? Yeah, for the most part. So think about that. What is a characteristic that you've seen a child do that you want to incorporate more in your life? Take a second just to think about that. To be first, we need to be last. And I have three amazing boys. And it's funny because every single one of them acts a different way in a kind of a public space. And so my oldest, he is very much the interviewer, if you will. There's never a stranger in the place. And he loves to get to know people. He will sit down and say, okay, so what is it you do for a living? Oh, I do this. Cool. What kind of car do you have? How many children do you have? He wants to get to know people. And I think, man, a lot of us, we just want to get in and get out of the grocery store. We just want to sit down and do our work and do what needs to be done. Not many of us are willing to kind of take that step forward and get to know people that we don't know. My other son likes to hug everyone. I'm not saying you should go around to the grocery store and hug everyone, but it's that affection. And he gets somewhere and he sees someone and he runs up and he gives a great big smile. And sometimes he hugs and sometimes he does a fist pump. Sometimes he does a high five, but he's excited to see anyone he meets. My other son is a little more drawn back. He's a little shy. But once he warms up, he loves to play. He'll sit down, he'll give you a puzzle, and he'll just start doing the puzzle with you. So does everybody have an example of something that a child has done? Something that a child, you know, a characteristic that you would want to maybe implement, that you have it in your brain right now? Because I think this is what Jesus is truly talking about when he says, if you want to be first, you need to be last. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you need to humble yourself like a child. And there's so many, all these characteristics that you're thinking of, the characteristics that I've mentioned, I believe are all umbrellaed under being humble like a child, being more childlike in some capacity. Think about if we went around and we acted like children, and I'm not saying we run around and we eat nothing but cookies and we're, you know, doing that sort of thing, but if we went around and smiled, got to know people we didn't know and helped those out, because I think that's what it is too, putting others first, being a servant, having a servant's heart. I was at Walmart one time, and I was in the Lego section looking for Christmas presents for my boys, and a mom who wanted to get Legos had no idea. She was looking for three particular sets, and you could tell she was a little overwhelmed. She had a baby with her, and she was just frantically looking around, and I said, what are you looking for? And she said, these three sets right here. And she was kind of stressed. And I said, let me help you. I said, all right, you got this one. And she was like, what about this? And I was like, oh, this comes with this. And I was acting like I worked there. I think she thought I worked there, but I didn't, obviously. And then I was like, oh, we got to go around the corner for this one. And then she said, awesome, thank you. Why have you? Can you help me find this, this, and this? And I was like, sure. All right, I can help you find this, this, and that. But the world needs more of that. Would you agree with that? The world needs more of putting others first. And I think kids do a fantastic job of that. So camp is important, right? Camp, we impact youth. But it shouldn't stop at camp. It should continue. And we should be doing it every day. Wherever we are, whether it be church, school, out in public, we need to be looking at ways that not only we can help impact youth, but also impact those around us. So before I wrap up here, my challenge to you this week is observe the children in your life, grandchildren, your own children, neighbors, whoever it happens to be. Observe them. Because obviously there are some characteristics that don't necessarily fit this, but there are many, many, many that do. And how can we be more like that? How can we be more humble? So that's one challenge, is look at the children around you. What are some characteristics, things that you pick up, and things that maybe you can implement every day? And the second challenge is, how can we have a servant's heart? How can we put others first in everyday normal situations? Please say a quick prayer with me. Dear God, we we love you, and children are amazing. And not only do we want to impact them and help them grow in positive, amazing ways, and we want them to see your kingdom, but we can also learn so much from them as well. The simplicity, the honesty, the ability to go out and just get to know people they don't know, and to make friends so easily, and be able to overlook the things that might separate us, and find those common ground characteristics and traits. I pray, Lord, that this week you will open up our hearts, help us put others first, help us live a servant's heart as you want us to live. Lord, we love you, and in your name we pray, and we thank you for this time we can gather and really just kind of dive into your word and learn about the amazing things that are happening at camp and the world around us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. At this